Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is...
Larry.
Yeah.
I think I'm just Larry tonight, Stevie.
You know, I'm going to say that you're a greater man in my estimation than what you're putting in yourself right now. Folks, we are so happy to be among you. My friend, we're going to take a look starting at Malachi 3, verse 13.
Yeah, this is the first time where we haven't stayed to chapters, but you know, chapters are a Middle Ages import onto Scripture, and once they did it the first time, everybody stayed with the same convention.
Yeah,
but chapters oftentimes break up in the middle of a thought.
Yeah,
but you and I are still fairly careful about staying to chapters anyway. But we didn't this time.
Yeah, and
we're finishing the book tonight, Steve.
Oh, yeah. So really what we're saying to everyone is just deal with it.
Yeah.
Deal with it. You're not paying for this, so just be happy you're getting it at all. Okay, that's too far. That's too far. I'm so sorry. We're happy you're here. Don't get me wrong.
We are. And we're paying for it.
Obviously. Oh, yeah. Every day of our lives. What are we even talking about anymore? Anyway, so for those of you playing the at-home edition, we're in Malachi 3:13, and I'm going to read 13:14, and then we'll, our usual thing, folks.
Yeah, and so he, remember in the last verse, so these are just been a series of Israel complaint against God and God's rebuttal to that complaint. And that's going to happen again. God's going to say something about Israel, and they're going to say, well, when did we do that? And he's going to explain when they did that. And we're going to do that now. And we're almost to the end, and then he's going to start talking about his provisions. But then he doesn't completely do that, but he'll talk about his provisions for the faithful.
Mm.
Yeah, and then tell the rest of them that he's going to crush them utterly. And
except for you people.
Yeah, except the rest of you. So Israel speaks arrogantly against God is our subtitle.
Oh, so true. All right, verse 13. You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? Oh, Israel. But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper. And even when they put God to the test, they get away with it.
Yeah, so of course he's saying you're speaking arrogantly against me, and they say what? How? And he says, well, you tell people it's futile to serve you. It makes me feel a little guilty when I joke about being in the ministry is about equivalent financially as being on drugs, because there's no money in it, which is really untrue because God has always looked after us, and that is really the way you should be talking about this.
Yes,
because we've never been without, right?
Right, right.
And now Paul said he could live without, but God knows that I can't. We are too soft.
Yeah, that's Paul's problem, not mine.
But and then he says, and then you're carrying out the requirements like mourners, like you're serving God just in a really, really bad attitude, is what he's saying.
Like 5-year olds. Like,
look at us, we serve God, look at how crappy it is.
Yeah, like 5-year olds. Do we have to?
And it's crazy. And he says, and then you're looking at the evildoers and you're just mad that they're doing okay.
Mm.
And you're saying they put God to the test, they're getting away with it. There's a psalm like that, isn't there, where he says, I looked at the evil and I said, why are they doing so well? And we're hard done by and they're doing so well. And then I saw their end.
Mm.
And I realized serving God is the only way to go.
Yeah.
And but to these guys, he's saying, you're just not acting properly. But now he's going to talk about this faithful group. There are some that are, and all the way through the Old Testament, there are these places where Israel's doing so poorly, and there are a few that stayed strong for God, and he would talk about that. Remember, remember, was it Elijah, and he was so mad at God one point. And God said, look, there's still 700 that haven't bowed their knee.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not the only guy serving me, Elijah. There's still others.
That's right. Begs God to take him, right?
Yeah. Take me because I'm the only one left. Oh, come on. Come on, little boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Be a man once in a while.
Yeah. All I can hear is Daffy Duck going, kill me now, kill me now.
With a beak back.
That's right. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So now he's going to talk to the faithful.
Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son, who serves him, and will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not.
Yeah, you got to love these people. In all of this, with all of these bad things going on, remember the priests? The people are offering terrible offerings, and he said that, and the priests are supporting these lousy offerings that they're offering, and then they're holding back on their tithes. He said, but there are some of you who still get together and talk about me, and you are my faithful remnant. You're the ones that I want to be with because I am the thing that you love.
Right.
And then he says, and I'll look after you. I'm just going to look after you. It's kind of nice, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's kind of. Anyway, so that's that. And now we're on chapter 4.
Yeah. Especially when you contrast that last sentence in 14, you know, how they're going, how come they get away with it? To these people that are just simply compassionate, saying God is who he is and we will follow him.
Yeah. And they love him. And he says, therefore, they're my treasured possession. I'd like to be that. I'd like to be God's treasured possession.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I also want to live my crappy life.
I enjoy my envy of the evil. Come on. Come on. That's worked out so well for me so far.
You know, my attitude has always just done wonders for my career. Yeah.
Do you have the joy of the Lord? I've seen it, but in other people.
I have heard of it. Yeah.
All right. Chapter 4, folks. Surely the day is coming, and it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. And then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty.
Yeah, so he's talking about, this is the day of the Lord they're talking about. Mm. And it's an intriguing thing because Israel was always looking forward to the day of the Lord. And in some of the prophets, they say, yeah, the day of the Lord's coming, but you're going to be the first one judged when the day of the Lord comes. He's going to judge everybody, but you're first. So just like... don't be so excited about this judgment on your enemies. But this time he's talking about it, and it's burning like a furnace. But he's talking about it burning up and harming those that are not serving him. And I think he's talking to his own people here. Mm. So he's not talking outside of Israel here. He's talking to his own. But these other guys that he was talking about, they're going to be running around like calves. And fortunately, living in the country every once in a while, I've seen calves, and they're just a hoot to watch.
Yeah,
when they frolic and they jump around and they're full of energy and yeah. And so that's what he's talking about. And also, this is the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in his rays. So sun is not S-O-N; it's S-U-N.
Yeah,
the sun of righteousness and healing in its rays. The other versions say healing in its wings, and I think there's a song about the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings.
I can't think of it, but I'm with you.
I'll have to ask Lynn sometime, but I'm pretty sure. And then again, he'll say the righteous ones are going to just be loving this, and the wicked ones are going to be trampled.
Yeah.
So there's very much an Old Testament live for God piece in this thing.
Yeah. I appreciate you bringing out that piece of that they always were looking forward to this day of the Lord. But it's not coming in a way that they think.
No, except for these righteous guys.
Yeah.
these guys that just love Jesus. Or it's not Jesus, of course, because this is Old Testament. Sorry about that little slip there.
No, it's all good. Right. Everything ultimately points to Jesus, right? So
it does. What's gray with a big puffy tail? I know it's a squirrel, but it's Sunday school, so I'm just going to say Jesus. That's right.
Yes. Okay, verse.
I still love the frolicking, like, well-fed calves. Yeah.
Because we've all seen that, and we can kind of see the joy in it. We think, here's this thing that's a lumbering oaf in its adulthood, but here it is just having a great old time as a little kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Verse 4, remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of their children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction.
Interesting, eh? And here's an intriguing thing. Like most think this points, now we're pointing way to the future, to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people will say this is pointing to Jesus, and it's quite possible. And when he talks about Moses here and Elijah, when you get to the book of Revelation, you have the two witnesses, and some think that it's Enoch and Elijah, and some think it's Moses and Elijah. And it's kind of intriguing that he tied Moses and Elijah there. And when Jesus came, they said, you know, what's he going to come like? And remember, they would say, like Elijah. Mm-hmm. He's going to come back and he'll be like Elijah. So it might be a pointing to Christ himself as well. Mm. But
interesting.
Yeah. But these guys are so important in the Old Testament, remember?
Yeah.
And then Moses, important. Keep going.
No, you go.
No, you go.
I was going to say, and then Moses and Elijah show up with Jesus and Peter's infamous, let me build three huts for you. This is awesome. Let's do this.
Yeah. And the angels do that thing that they always do in Acts. Why do you stand there staring off into the sun? Well, because Jesus just went up, guys.
But it's interesting to see those. And if you take that, like you said, to the two servants in Revelation, that's really fascinating how they keep appearing in that.
Yes. And of course, we don't know who the two witnesses are in Revelation 11. Yeah. And some say the church in Israel, and some say these other things. But when you read stuff like this, you think, well, this was at least in his mind in the background of it.
Yeah.
Whatever he was saying, this would make sense to his audience very, yes. very much so.
Yeah, they could see
and that. And he says this dreadful day of the Lord comes. So now the day of the Lord is a dreaded thing. Mm-hmm. Right? But he's going to turn parents back to their children, which is lovely.
Yeah.
Or I'll strike the land with total destruction.
Yeah.
So there's still in the Old Testament, there's still you better do this stuff that I'm telling you to do, because it's not going to bode well for you if you don't.
Right.
Very, very much like Deuteronomy, remember? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Blessings and the curses. Mm-hmm. And it's all the way through here. Mm-hmm. And this ties up, and some would say this ties up now. All the Torah and the prophets. So the first five books and then all of the prophets, this kind of ties them all together now. And this was the Protestant Bible, and we were getting ready for the coming of Jesus in the New Testament. So, I mean, this is the last verse before Matthew.
Yeah.
If you click your button there, it'll say Matthew.
I'm going to do that just to prove a point.
Just in case there's, there, Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus. Now, if you do the Hebrew Bible, of course, I think it ends in Chronicles, which is entrance into the land, which was so important to them.
Right.
Yeah. So again, he says to the people, remember, this is 5:30-ish or something, or 4 something. And 5:30, they came back the first time. If this is Nehemiah, we're in the mid 400s, right? Mm-hmm. And he's saying, get back and serve God. You came into the land, and now you're doing what you always did.
Yeah.
You're thinking about yourselves.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have to feel terribly guilty when we read this. a little guilt may not hurt.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're still hoping that parents will be turned towards their children.
Yeah. 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 So. So, and that's the end of Malachi.
Oh, what a great way to end that, my friend. Thank you so much for doing that. Like Larry said, here we are at the end. Here we are, not quite at the end of all things. We're just at the end of this. You've reached the end of the return of the king.
Yes.
But we're still got a story about Sam, so to go. folks, as always, I hope that you found this meaningful and challenging. I hope you see that there is a message for us in all of this too, right? Because we are people that look at others and say, why do you bless them, Lord? And God goes, did I not bless you enough? We're the ones that are hoping that our hearts are turned towards our children and our children towards us. And we fear that there will be a destruction of everything around us because this generation is not faithful, or the next, or the one before it. So it's really interesting to read this. As always, we're so thankful that you're with us. We'll be back next week with an unknown topic that we cannot reveal to you yet. It's a secret.
Yeah, unless we do Galatians.
It's not a secret anymore now, is it?
Well, we may not.
No, I'm just joking with her. That's actually, Galatians would be fantastic to do. And actually, I just enjoy any time you talk about a piece of scripture anyway, my friend. All right, folks, we'll see you next week. Until next time, I was Steve, he was Larry, and this was the Apocalary Podcast.